We'll read scripture and then sit down, and I'll give you the few opportunities to get your phone out to do something. Ephesians chapter number 3, we'll begin our reading in verse number 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word, and thank you for the privilege and the opportunity that we have to be in your house and to open up your word and to read from it and to be instructed from it by your Holy Spirit. I pray, God, that you would help me to deliver unto your people what you have delivered unto me. And I pray, God, that you would speak to our hearts together. May our hearts be uplifted and comforted by the truths that we will look at in your word this evening. Thank you for hearing our prayer tonight. And thank you for the access that you've given us into your presence through the blood of Jesus. Thank you for our great high priest who is touched with the feeling of our infirmities, was in all points tempted as we, yet without sin. And God, we thank you that we have such a high priest as the Lord Jesus, who makes intercession on our behalf. We ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. You may be seated. If you have your phone with you tonight, I'm going to ask you, if you would, to pull it out. And if you don't, and you have a date book, then I'll ask you to pull that out. If you don't have a phone that you keep notes in, or, you know, as far as dates to keep, or a date book, then I want to recommend, if you're over 20, that you get you one. Because you'll start forgetting things. You say, well, I'm not forgetting things. Well, it's coming. So you need to get you a date book or a phone with a calendar on it. And I want you to go to the month of April, and you're going to see April the 4th, which is a Saturday. And I want you to mark that date as the beginning of our missions revival. And I want you to go through to that following Thursday, which is the 9th, if I'm not mistaken. And I want you to mark that as to be the closing of our missions revival. That's not the closing of our missions period, it's just the closing of the meeting. And I want you to mark those days, and I want you to pray and say, God, I want to be at every one of those meetings. I want to be there. I want to be there every night. I will be hindered. The enemy will try to keep me away from this meeting, Lord, and God, don't let him do it. Protect me. Build something in my heart to where I would have a burning desire to be at every one of those meetings, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, and Thursday night, so I could hear your heartbeat, Lord, because missions is the heartbeat of God. And I pray that you would be here every service, and you would begin even now. And I'm going to do this, Lord, with many services between now and then, and tell you to pull out that day planner, pull out that phone and mark these dates. And if there's something that tries to come up that needs to be scheduled, you schedule it around that. I have things that are scheduled. And when things are very important, I move things that are scheduled. They become secondary. And so I want you to make this a very important week. You say, I love my church, and I believe you do. You say, we love you, pastor, and I believe you do. And if you love Jesus and you love your pastor and you love the church, you be here every time. Every time. It's just important. It'll make you a better Christian. It'll make you a more caring Christian to hear the burden of these men and women who have given their lives to go to a place that God has called them to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so I encourage you, and many of you do, you're at every service, and I just know, I know how the enemy works. The Bible says we're not ignorant to the devil's devices, and he's going to try to keep you away. Isn't that what he does, brethren? Isn't it? He's going to try to throw something up, some last minute something, to try to get you to miss a night of the missions revival, or the Sunday of the missions revival, just whatever. And so I want you to begin to pray, God, help me and protect me. Put a hedge about my family and I, that we could be at every night of the missions revival and starting on Sunday morning. All right? Pray for the speakers, and you'll hear more about that this Sunday, the Lord willing. All right. Ephesians chapter number 3. We've talked about the humility of the prayer in verse number 14 and 15, where Paul said, "For this cause I bow my knees." And we talked about the heart of the prayer. And I got down to the last part of the heart of this prayer. And I want to just go back, and I want to give you some words that I'd like for you to write down either beside these verses or if you keep notes in your notebook. Verse number 16, I'd like for you to write the word enablement. Because this is what Paul was praying. You know, if I could choose a prayer that I would pray for you, and if I could ask you to pray for me, this would be what I would ask you to ask God to help me with. Look at it. Verse 16, that God would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. We talked about that. We talked about we're a spiritual being. We have spiritual senses, and they must be exercised. And Paul said, I'm praying that the Spirit of God would strengthen you. We need it. And I need you to pray for that for me. And as someone who shepherds and cares for you, I need to pray for that for you. And as a family of sheep in the fold, we need to pray for that one for another. And so here's the man of God saying, I'm praying that God would give you enablement. Now, how does enablement come in Christian service? Well, right here it is. Right here it is in verse number 16. We remember we talked about the four that's. The first that is in verse 16. It's enablement, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened. What is Paul saying? He's saying, I'm praying you would be enabled by God's Spirit to do the work. See, God's called us to do a work, brethren. Every one of us, God's called us to do a work. Now, your work is not my work, and my work is not your work. God gives us gifts and abilities, and he gives us talents, and he sends us to a place like this right here, the local assembly, so that we can exercise our spiritual gifts and do the work that God's called us to do. And we have a work to do. God has commissioned us, and we have a work to do for his kingdom. And Paul said, I'm praying for you. He prayed for this local church in Ephesus. He said, I'm praying for that local body of believers, that local assembly. I'm praying that God would enable you. That's what we need. Number two, look at verse 17. This is the second that. In verse number 17, look at it. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. He said, I'm praying for enthronement, that you would make Jesus the king of your heart. That Christ may dwell in your hearts. Amen. My heart. Christ home. What a wonderful thought. What a wonderful thought. He's saying, I'm not just praying that Christ would be a part of what you're doing. I'm praying that he would be everything unto you. See, when Paul spoke into these churches, he didn't say, I pray that Christ would have a part in your life. He said, I'm praying that Christ would have the preeminence in your life. See, that's the greatest way to live life, is for Christ to have the preeminence. For him to have it all. Listen, it's not an easy thing. And anyone that tries to tell you it's easy just to turn it all over to Jesus. No, listen, it's not easy. If it were easy, everyone would be doing it. There is the flesh that is fighting against it. There is the world that is against it. There is the devil. These are our enemies. And sometimes we can be our own worst enemies. And so Paul said, I'm praying for you. And he said, I'm praying for you that Christ would have the throne of your heart, enthronement. Now, only you can enthrone Christ in your heart. I can't enthrone Christ in your heart. And you can't enthrone Christ in my heart. That's a personal decision. I can get up here and kick and scream and bang and do cartwheels, but that's not going to convince you to make Christ the king of your life. When we allow the Spirit of God and the Word of God to work in our lives, and when we become pliable, and when we become submissive to the will of God, then we will come to that place. God will bring us to that place where we realize the best place for Christ in my life is on the throne in my heart. All right? So he said, I pray for you. And he said, I pray for enablement. In verse 16, he said, I'm praying in verse number 17 that Christ may dwell. That word dwell there is important. So he's writing to believers. He didn't say, I'm praying that Christ would reside in your heart. Well, the Lord lives in every believer. Romans 8:9 says, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. The Spirit of God dwells in all of us as believers. And Paul, we've seen, was writing to the saints in chapter 1, back in chapter 1, verse number 3. He said, I'm writing to the saints which are at Ephesus. And so this statement is not about being a Christian. It's about Jesus being the king of our lives. And he said, I'm praying that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you would have an awareness that everywhere you go, you carry Jesus with you. Everything you say, Jesus is part of that conversation. We represent him, and God help us to represent him well. He deserves that, doesn't he? Jesus deserves that we represent him well. And so he said, I'm praying for enthronement. Number 3, look in verse number 7, number 18, I'm sorry. Oh, it's verse 17. That ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge. Now this is the third one. And this prayer is for enlightenment. Notice what he said. He began it in verse number 17. That ye, there's our third that ye being rooted and grounded. And we talked about those two words. One is an agricultural word, rooted. The other is an architectural word, grounded. I think it's interesting that Paul used these two words. They speak of strength and stability. The deep, listen, the roots go deep. What is Paul saying? He's saying the love of God is what you need to build your Christian life on. Now I want you to listen to me for a moment. We've gotten away from this in many Christian circles. We've gotten away from this. And we're not going to allow what some folks may say to say, well, you know, when you preach love, that's compromise. No, that's Bible. Preaching love is Bible. And Paul said, if you want to be a strong Christian, now listen to what Paul said. I cannot overemphasize this. This cannot be overstated. He said in verse number 17, that ye being rooted and grounded, not in power, not in faith, not in knowledge, not in wisdom, but in love. In love. Rooted. May the roots of your Christian experience go deep into God's love. This brings stability, and we talked about this some last week. And then, of course, foundation. You want to grow tall? The foundation's got to be right. Right? You ask any builder, you're going to go high, you better go deep. Isn't that right, builders? You better make sure that foundation's right. And what is Paul saying? When the foundation of our lives, of our Christian experience, is rooted and grounded in God's love, it'll make us strong, mature believers. Strong, mature believers. The Bible says in Romans 5:5 that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Brethren, God wants to love people through you. And God wants to love people through me. I need God to do that. Sometimes I can not show the kind of love that God wants me to show in my flesh. How about you? We need God to help us. We need God to help us. And so what's he saying? He's saying you will be the best in your Christian experience when your life is rooted and grounded in God's love. I read something a few months back as I was studying for these messages, and I've tried to make it a practice in my life daily. I don't know that I have. I couldn't tell you what I've done yesterday. But I've tried to make it a practice to pray, God, help me to understand your love. Because I do believe what your word says, and it will make me a better Christian. And I want to be a better Christian. I want to be a better Christian. And if I want to be a better Christian, then I need to have a better understanding of how God loves me. How about you?
You say, well, preacher, I'm doing pretty good with that. Well, that's good. That's good. But I don't know that we could ever arrive. And so what is Paul saying? He's saying, I'm praying for you in verse 16 that God would enable you. And he said in verse number 17 that there would be an enthronement, that Christ would be on the throne in your heart. And in verse number 17, he said, I'm praying, now watch this, for enlightenment. Enlightenment, yes. He said that you may be rooted and grounded in love. Now here it is, look at verse 18. May be able to comprehend. There's the enlightenment. That God, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, God the Holy Spirit, would enlighten you as to how much God really loves you. I don't know, I just don't know too many people that can grab hold of that. We're always comparing God's love to man's love. And God's love is so much higher than our love. Our love is based on petty things most of the time. But God's love is eternal. It's complete. It's without condition, you see. And it makes it difficult for us. And so we need to pray, God, help me to understand your love for me. Now, he said in verse number 19, and I want you to make note of this. We'll come back to this in just a moment as we close out. He said in verse number 19, and to know the love of Christ, notice that last phrase there, which passeth knowledge. He's saying, help me to understand something that cannot be understood. That's you know. He said, I'm praying for you. See, I don't know that we can fully grasp how much God really loves us. But that doesn't mean we shouldn't try. Amen? That doesn't mean we shouldn't try, brethren. Now let's close with this. All right, here's the last one. Look, and this is where we'll dig in a little bit. And I said we'll come back to that statement as we close, and we will, to that statement in verse number 18, where it says, verse number 19, I'm sorry, that passeth knowledge. Now here's the fourth that in verse number 19. That you might be filled with all the fullness of God. What is Paul saying? This is a prayer for enlargement. Now I want you to listen carefully. See, we limit God so much. We do. We limit Him. There is a potential and a capacity that God has for every life, and few lives have ever reached it. Few lives have even cared to try. And Paul said, I'm praying for you that you would, that the capacity that God has built into your life would reach its fullness. Hold your place here and go back to John chapter 1. In John chapter 1, John said something about this capacity. And this is where it gets started. It gets started when you get saved. See, when God saves us, a lot of times we think, well, God saved me to keep me out of hell. Well, I'm thankful that God does save people and keep them out of hell, aren't you? But that's not the only reason God saves people. God saved me. Listen, if the only reason God saved us was to take us to heaven, He'd take us to heaven when He saved us. But there's so much more. Now, don't misunderstand me. I thank God I'm going to heaven. Listen, I'm around death a lot. And when I stand and I watch people in pain and in misery and their bodies are racked and they're lying upon their deathbed, it just makes me more thankful. I'm sorry for what families are going through, but I'm so thankful to God that this life is not all that there is. For if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're of all men most miserable. If this was it, I told a lady today, I told Miss Ann Woodward, I said, you know, I'm so thankful that I don't have to stand here and grabble and try to come up with words to for a final goodbye. I just know that regardless if it's today, if it's tomorrow, if it's next week, I know that to be absent from this body as a believer is to be present with the Lord, and there's a glad reunion day coming. I just know that. It's real in my heart. I believe it should be real in every believer's heart. And I'm just thankful that we have that. I'm thankful. In John chapter number 1, John writing of Jesus, in verse number 16, we'll go back to verse number 15. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, "This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me, and of his fullness." Now here it is. "And of his fullness have we all received, and grace for grace." See, when you get saved, God puts a capacity in you. Here it is right here. Paul said, "I'm praying for you that you might be filled with all the fullness of God." And here's John saying, you know, this one that's coming, that's preferred before me and was before me, this one that's coming, he has given us something that trust him, and of his fullness have we all received. All right? You're not going to get any more of the Holy Spirit than you already have. You understand that? See, some people are, "God, give me more of your Spirit." Well, he's a person and you've got him all. But there's a capacity that comes with that person. It's God's will. Turn back, if you would, to Ephesians. See, God has a will for your life. God has a will for my life. And ultimately, God's will is to conform us into the image of his Son. Right? Romans 8. That's God's will for every person that gets saved. It's God's will that we be conformed to the image of his Son, Jesus Christ. It's a conforming process. And part of the things that we go through in life, that's why all things work together for good. Amen? Because it's all working into that conforming process. When God saved us, he put something in us, and someone actually, the Holy Spirit, so that we could reach the capacity that he has for us. Some people just, I don't know, they just don't seem to have a whole lot of desire for that to happen. I pray that no one sitting here this evening is like that. That you're just kind of going through life aimlessly. I struggle with people who never read this book and tell me that they're saved. I struggle with that. Now, I'm not saying that they're not saved, so don't leave here and say, "Well, the preacher said if you didn't read the Bible, you wasn't saved." There's people that read the Bible that are not saved. I just said I struggle with people who say they're saved and don't read this book. You must not believe this is the Word of God. This is the Word of God. Let's say that again. This is the Word of God. God wants to speak to you. The God who made you, the God who made everything, wants to speak to you. Could you imagine that? And so he's spoken right here. And he's got something to say to you personally. All you have to do is open up and see what he has to say to you. Let me encourage you. See, it's the tempter, it's the enemy that tries to keep you away from this book. Don't let his excuses. "Well, I'm busy." Well, we're all busy. "Well, I don't understand a lot that I read." Well, there's a lot of us that don't understand. You think I understand everything I read out of this book? See, God's got a nugget for you. God's got something for your life. And that's what he's saying here in Ephesians. In verse number 19, chapter 3, he's saying that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. That you might understand that God has an enlargement for you, that God has something more for you. Don't you limit what God wants to do in your life. You say, "Well, preacher, I just don't have the abilities or the gifts or the drive that others have." That's okay. God made you what you are and who you are. You just be what God made you to be. Quit comparing yourselves with other people. Quit looking at others and saying, "Well, I can't be like them, so I may as not be anything." No, listen, God made you who you are. Let God work in your life and make you all that you could, can and should be for him. Amen. So he said, I'm praying for that in your life. Now let's look at verse 20 and 21. And this is interesting. He said, "Now unto him that is able." Because I'm just sure, as some of you, as we've gone through this, you've probably thought, "Well, that's just not going to happen in my life." You know, I mean, I've been saved for whatever. I've been saved for 5 years. I've been saved for 10. I've been saved for 15, 20, 25. And it's just been a constant struggle for me, and it's been a roller coaster ride, and I just don't know that if it's meant to be for me, preacher. Well, listen, I'm telling you right now, God's able to help it be real in your life. That's what Paul said. He's able. As a matter of fact, I've taken a few things, and I'm going to ask you to turn here, just a few statements. You ought to go through sometimes. If you do not have a concordance, I want to encourage you to get a concordance. Now, I've heard that you can download Strong's Concordance online now free. I don't know that that's so. Anybody can verify that? Okay, we've got one, two. And I would encourage you to do that. Just, if nothing else, it'll help you look up to find out where these words are used. And you can look up the word able. And it'll tell you everywhere in the Bible this word's used. And then you can narrow it down and find out what God's able to do. You say, well, I know what God's able to do. I know that. I don't know that you know all God's able to do because of what I just read, getting ready to read right here to you. See, God can do above things that we even ask or think. So I don't know this, I don't know that we know all that God can do, but God tells us some things in His Word. Let's turn to just a few of them. I hope it's a whet your appetite, and then we'll come back here. All right, turn to the scripture if you would with me. All right, let's start in 2 Corinthians. Well, let's go back to Romans. Romans chapter 4. Let's see what God's able to do. Now, as you're turning to Romans 4, this is what Paul said. Now unto him that is able, because he just said, I'm praying for you, right? I'm praying for you. And I'm praying that God would do some things in your life. I'm praying that God would strengthen you with might by His Spirit in the inner man. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints. You see, he said, and that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. So here's the four things. He said, I'm praying these things for your life. And the old enemy will come and say, well, oh, now you might can get some of that, but you can't get it all. And Paul said, no, wait a minute. He's able. He's able. God's able to do all of these things in your life. But you see, we have to be willing. We have to desire God to do them in our lives. So, Romans chapter 4, notice if you would, and by the way, this is one of my favorite sections of Scripture in all the Bible. Romans 4, look at verse 21. This section, if you go back to verse number 18, I'm not going to do it for sake of time, but I'm telling you, you read this and it'll put you on some shouting ground. You say, well, I don't shout. Well, have you read this lately? Look at verse number 21. I have to go back to verse number 20. Speaking of Abraham, he said, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, now here it is, he was able to perform. God's able. Everything God wrote, He's able to perform. Everything God said He was going to do, He's able to do it. Amen. You read it, God can do it. You think it, God can do it. Amen. And that was our father of faith, Abraham, father of the faithful. He's able. Turn over, if you would, to 2 Corinthians just for a moment. Well, go to 1 Corinthians first. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And I'm just going to give you a couple of these to whet your appetite, okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 10, this is a very familiar passage of Scripture. It's talking about temptation. I think we all deal with that. Anybody in here that doesn't deal with temptation? I'd like to shake your hand. Well, I don't know if I would or not. If you lied to me, you might steal from me. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, look in verse number 13. There is no temptation taking you, but such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. He's faithful, and He's going to work in that situation and make you able. God's going to do that for you. God's going to do it. Not you have to figure it out. And I have to figure out, God's going to do that. God's able to do that for me. In the moment of temptation, God's able to get me through that, to navigate me through that without falling. That's what the Bible teaches. God's able to do that, brethren. God's able. 2 Corinthians, turn there just for a moment. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. This is one of my favorites. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, look at verse number 8. We're just talking about he's able. God's able. Because this is the last part of that prayer. There was the humility of the prayer. He said, I bow my knees. There's the heart of the prayer, the four that's. And then there's kind of like what I call the hallelujah of the prayer. Amen. He's able. And we're going to see where Paul gets really excited. He said in chapter number 9 of 2 Corinthians, look if you would in verse number 8. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always have an all sufficiency in all things may abound in every good work. What a verse. God's able. You say, well, God can't do that for me, preacher. Not only can God do it, God will do it. He's able. God is able. I tell you, we're living in an age where people doubt God. They doubt what he can do, his ability to do things. I don't want to be that person. I don't want to be that person just walking around saying, well, you know, maybe God might. It may work out. Listen, God's able. God's able. Let's look at just a couple more. Turn, if you would, to Hebrews just for a moment. Hebrews chapter number 2. And there's plenty. Listen, get your concordance out sometime and just look through. I just jotted down these because they were New Testament, and I'm just trying to go through and whet your appetite a little bit. Hebrews chapter number 2. Look at verse number 18. Hebrews 2 verse 18. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. You know what that word means? It means to rush to their aid, to get to their side and help them out. God's able. You see, God's able. Isn't that what it says in verse number 18? He's able. And then finally in chapter number 7, this will be the final one that we look at, but I hope that you do go home and get your concordance out and look through the Bible and just look at some of the things that God is able to do. God's able to, listen, he's able to get us through temptation. He's able to succor us or to come alongside of us. He's able to perform what he's promised. He's able to make all grace abound toward us. God is just able. Here in chapter 7 of the book of Hebrews, look, if you would, in verse number 25. Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. I'm glad for that, aren't you? That's how we get in. God's able to save to the uttermost. I'm glad God doesn't do things halfway like we do. Amen. I'm glad my salvation wasn't left up to me or someone else, some man. I'm glad God can save to the uttermost. Aren't you? Now let's go back to Ephesians and we'll close there, all right? So, he's able. God's able. And if we go back to Ephesians chapter number 3, we see where the Apostle Paul made this statement. He said that he's able to do. And you can just put a line there and just fill in the blank. God's able to do exceeding. Chapter 3, verse number 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. What's he saying? Well, he's saying he's able to do. He's able to do above all. He's able to do abundantly above all. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask, and he didn't stop there, or think. So let's not doubt him now. Let's trust him. You say, well, preacher, I prayed and it didn't happen. Well, now, don't mistaken your prayer that didn't happen the way you maybe prescribed it to or thought it was going to happen as God's inability. Right? See, God's not always willing. Now listen to me carefully. There's just some things that we pray that's not God's will. And just because it's not God's will doesn't mean that God's not able. See, we never doubt God's ability. Now God's will, well, that's a different thing. Sometimes His will and ability and our perspective go together, but we can't think because it didn't happen, because it wasn't God's will, that God wasn't able to do it. God's always able. But sometimes He's not willing that what we pray would come to pass, because God knows what's best, doesn't He? Amen. And so I want you to understand that. He said unto him, be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. I told you we was going to go back to that latter part of verse number 19 where he said, which passeth knowledge. That's speaking about God's love. But God's ability passes knowledge too. Isn't that what he said? He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. I'd say that passes our knowledge, wouldn't you? So not only can we not fully comprehend God's love for us, we also cannot fully comprehend God's power that is available to us. And we just need to trust Him. I read the story. You can stand to your feet. I read the story some time ago about a poor man who lived in a certain province. And the king loved this man. And he asked his guard to go get this man and to bring him before him. And he did. And he brought him into his chambers. And the king looked on him and he said, I'm well pleased. And he said, I want to favor you. And he said, I've written on the scroll what I want to do for you. And he handed it to the guard. And the guard went and he handed it to the man. And when the man opened it up and began to read it, he began to weep. And he said, oh, king, I can't accept this. This is just too much to ask. And the king smiled. And he said, but it's not too much to give. You know, sometimes we limit God with our asking. We ask as if God is a man. And we compare what we're asking God for as if what some human being would give us. And we shouldn't be guilty of that. And I'm saying we. God help us to realize that though we might think it's too much for us to ask, it's not too much for Him to give. Because His resources are plentiful. I don't know what your need is. And please don't leave here thinking I'm talking about money, though if you have a financial need, I'm here to tell you God can meet financial needs too. But we have needs, every one of us. We represent needs. Some, maybe your marriage is struggling, I don't know. Maybe your health is failing. Maybe spiritually, the light is flickering. And your passion is waning. I don't know. But I know this. I know there's a God in heaven that is able. And I just pray that God would teach me to pray for you like this. And He would teach us to pray for one another and say, God, help us not to limit you. But help us to reach the fullest capacity that you have for us as an individual and then corporately as a church. We want to reach the fullest capacity so that God would be glorified to the maximum. 260. All right. We can do that. Come on, Michael, we'll sing 260. I don't even know what it is, but I trust Dr. Thompson. Maybe after tonight that'll change, but we'll see what 260 is first. Amen? It's probably He's able. I don't know. He's able. Yeah. Well, I was actually thinking about that, so. All right, where are you at, Michael? All right. Michael says he don't know. Is it just the regular, he's able? I know. Oh, it's another one. Well, Dr. Thompson might have to come and lead his another song. You know what, Pastor Brandon? Come on, help him up here, Brother Corey. Amen. This will teach you. Make sure the pianist knows it. This will teach you to speak out. You speak out, and then you got to do it.
Amen. You're going to lead us. I don't know the song, so I'm going to follow your lead, Dr. Thompson.
Come on up here and stand by me, if you will.
Tis the grandest thing through the sun's song, for the sun's a song, sun's a song, tis the father's God, his son, our God, is able to deliver thee. He is able to deliver thee. He is able to deliver thee. Though by sin oppressed, go to him for rest. Our God is able to deliver thee. I think by now you say he doesn't know it himself. All right, let's sing the last stanza. The grandest thing, let the tidings roll to the bleeding heart, to the rebel soul, to the blood of faith, they will make me whole. Our God is able to deliver thee. Sing it. He is able to deliver thee. He is able to deliver thee. Though by sin oppressed, call to him for rest. Our God is able to deliver thee. And all God's people said,
Amen.
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 Do you know that song now?
I've sang it, but I don't know it. Good song. Some of you knew it. I could tell by the way you sang. How many of you knew that song? Okay, great. Amen. Amen. Yeah. All the old people knew it. All right. Well, whether you know the song or not, the Bible says he's able. And we're thankful for that. Let's bow our heads together. I don't know what you're facing. I don't know what someone, maybe a neighbor or family member, maybe even your own family, don't know what you're going through. I just know that God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Let's have a moment of quietness before the Lord, and then we'll close our service in prayer.